present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz, coming to you from Paradise Place in Birmingham. We start with a sign scene at Warwick Castle, read for us by Brian Perkins.
Please note, the torture chamber is unsuitable for wheelchair users.
Thanks to Richard Young of Cambridge for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Tony Hawks. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Linda Smith. Francis, how can we at the Beeb say that thanks to our boys it was all over by Christmas?
Oh, it's the war effort. Things have been speeding up a bit. And for weeks we've been told that, oh, you know, Johnny Taliban is a plucky old fighter. Doesn't give in easily. But in fact, it turns out he's a total wuss who turns around and scarpers at the first sight of John Simpson. The thing was, because they'd been cut off from the outside world for some time under the Taliban, no telly, no music, no nothing, they'd heard about the Simpsons, but they'd never actually seen one. And it was a horrendous sight. And he liberated Kabul, I believe, single-handedly. A stunning film of him striding into Kabul in his bulletproof vest. Extra large, I think he bought it from High and Mighty, probably. And people were so excited they shaved off their beards and threw off their burqas and started playing Spice Girls songs and things like that. So it's all going awfully well for Mr. Blair. And except there is this slight problem, because the Northern Alliance weren't meant to go into Kabul. They'd promised that they wouldn't. They'd stop just outside, on the outskirts and the suburbs, and then John Simpson spoiled it all, and they've all gone in. And so now Blair and Bush are saying, well, nevertheless, we can't just have the Northern Alliance running the country. We want a broad coalition, including this mysterious thing called the moderate Taliban, are going to be included in the government. You know, if you look long and hard enough, you'll find a sort of Lib Dem element. You know, they believe in most of the Taliban stuff, but they're very into recycling burqas. They've got little... So they're going to be in the new government. But the unmoderate Taliban, I'm afraid they've gone. I don't know where they've gone, but they're probably heading for Britain even now.
That would be the continuity Taliban who are carrying on.
I can't believe it's not Taliban.
Were they a little bit naive, you know, Bush and Blair, when they said, well, we don't want the Northern Alliance to go into Kabul? You know, you've got this fighting force, you know, brutal fighting force, and they've risked their lives, and they just get there, and then someone pops up and says, well, would you mind awfully not taking the capital? We've got some people, they'll be along in about a week.
But also, that's another thing with the beards. You know, all of a sudden, people having their beards all sort of cut off. You think, well, what have these barbers been doing for the past few years? You must have had some lean years back there. Thinking, no, there'll be an upturn. No, next year, I'm sure. Beards will be worn shorter, I'm sure of it. So they're sitting there, these people at these barbers in Kabul. They must be leafing through magazines from 15 years ago.
I think we should have Alan Partridge reporting on the war over there, because I'd just like to see him do the bit where he says, and the Taliban are retreating from Kabul and heading for Kandahar.
John Simpson and the BBC camera crew led the way into Kabul this week in advance of the Northern Alliance troops, reporting the Taliban had fled. A more liberal regime has been established in Kabul. Within moments of the fall, shop windows around the city proclaimed death to the Taliban and opening soon Starbucks. 2 points to whoever got that right. Tony, who is definitely not the first minister to have an affair?
Ah, well, this will be Jack McConnell, who I believe... He is the first minister, isn't he, now? But when he did brilliantly, actually. I mean, you know, all the odds were against him. He was the only person standing for the position. A little bit tense. And realising that Paddy Ashdown actually gained in popularity when he revealed that he'd had an affair, I think Jack McConnell got some spin doctors to come up with this theory that he'd had an affair sometime earlier, and they put this about. And I think he did, actually. You know, not that I know of this personally in any way. But in spite of this, he beat off all the competition And I believe he is. If I'm not wrong, he's the First Minister now.
He is.
Good. He did well. Well done. If you're listening, jolly well done.
Although, I don't know if you saw that press conference with him and his wife where they explained about the affair. You didn't get the impression that she'd moved on from it particularly. Because she's going, yes, this happened 7 years ago. He betrayed me. Betrayed my family. He dragged our name in the dirt. But that's behind us now. The rat.
Yeah, and it's behind her until someone has to get the Christmas tree lights down from the loft. Then it's remembered. Why is it I have to do it? Oh,
yes, okay. You ran off to your secretary quick enough. I expect if she wanted you to put the Christmas tree lights up. Oh, yes, that would be all right. You make me sick.
Bit of a poison chalice, that. There's been three First Ministers. It's getting a bit... It's a bit of a crap name for the job, really, isn't it?
Mr. McConnell's wife, Bridget, said she'd been betrayed by her husband 7 years ago. Like the rest of New Labour, back then he told her he was a socialist. The whole Birmingham branch of the SWP are in here tonight. The post fell vacant when former First Minister Henry McLeish resigned over what became known as Officegate. By coming clean, Mr. McConnell hopes to head off his own looming scandal, Stationery Cupboard Quickiegate. 2 points to Tony. Linda, why are backbench MPs looking for a bit of privy counselling?
Oh, I know what this is. Apparently, MPs are in danger of being depressed. Yes, you see, that's probably the sort of reaction that makes them depressed. You try and explain that they're in mental torment and everyone just laughs. Yeah, apparently they might need a bit of counselling. So I imagine that would cheer you up, wouldn't it? Some dreary woman in a dress made of corn sitting there while you... going, yes, yes... Yes, I know, yes.
It'd be a bit annoying to go to your MP's constituency surgery and tell him how you've been waiting 2 years for a hip operation. He's just going, well, you think you've got problems. I've been up all night. Well, the thing is, MPs think they've got psychological problems. You think, well, how do you think you get on? I mean, look at the top table. You've got Blunkett and Straw and Blair. I mean, they're not a happy bunch, are they? I mean, these are not well... I mean, but for an expensive education, Tony Blair would just be walking aimlessly down high streets, clutching loads of carrier bags, shouting the C-word at people, wouldn't he? Don't pretend you haven't seen people like that. Just with wetter trousers and more stubble.
Chairwoman of the Parliamentary Labour Party, Jean Corston, wants MPs to get counselling to stop them turning into depressives. However, losing their seats and so no longer being an MP is seen as a much quicker and more humane method. Jeremy, listen to this. The theme from Friends. Jeremy, which powerful pals shook hands on a nuclear clear-out?
Oh, this is Bush and the butcher of Grozny, Vladimir Putin. Your man, Junior. And, oh, I mean, it is desperate, isn't it, Bush? I mean, he makes Beckham look like Chomsky, doesn't he? Really? He took him to Texas and they did traditional Texan things like lynching. They had a big old powwow and they both agreed to scrap all of their... They all started throwing weapons on the table. Partly because their weapons are all old. I mean, you know, people wonder why America has to have a war every couple of years. It's to get rid of the old stuff. If America didn't have a war every so often, they'd have to have a garage sale to get rid of it. But now they're saying, well, rather than do that, we'll just get rid of... He said he's going to destroy 50,000 nuclear missiles. He didn't say where or how, which is a bit worrying. Maybe it'll be the greatest firework party in history. Maybe they just soak them in water, I don't know. We had a firework that didn't go off. And I didn't know. I did return to it. They say, don't return to it. And you think, well, I can't leave it in the garden indefinitely. could make it a feature, I suppose.
Mr. Putin spoke to Mr. Bush through a Russian translator, and then Mr. Bush addressed the Western press through an English translator. We start round two with an item from the Times.
Italian police held a haulier for 10 hours after finding the word Laden on one of his documents. Surprisingly, that's not actually the punchline. The punchline is not quite so funny. Explosive expert surrounded his lorry until it was realized that he and his lorry were from Germany and that Laden in German means to load.
Thanks to Ramnik Shah of Epsom for that. Francis, how has the betraying in Spain only just been made plain?
There's something happening with, what do you call it? Not feedback, foldback.
Foldback, is there?
Can you say it again? I couldn't hear.
I'm sorry. Francis, how has the betraying in Spain only just been made plain?
Actually, it turns out I did hear it. I've just... It's to do with Kim Philby, I think. It's some ancient story. I mean, as with all important stories, 60 or 70 years after the event, the Public Record Office gets around to releasing the documents in the case. And it turns out that Kim Philby, at the time of the Spanish Civil War, was also working for Mr. Stalin and was asked to assassinate Franco or something like that. But he didn't, as history shows. He wasn't very good at assassinating people. He wasn't actually very good at anything, which is why he had to flee to Moscow in the end. But anyway, that was what it was. And as if it matters anymore, Kim Philby, it turns out, was a KGB spy.
Mm. See, all evil people have got moustaches, I've discovered. It's like there was Stalin, there's Saddam Hussein, Hitler, David Seaman...
Also, Peter Mandelson and Stephen Byers used to have moustaches until they shaved them off 5 years ago when Blair told them to as part of his Taliban thing. He's sort of opposite of the Taliban. He ordered Alistair Darling to shave off his beard, Byers, Mandelson, the whole lot all had to go as part of year zero of the new Tali-Blair, Tony-Ban machine.
Frank Dobson hung in there, didn't he?
Mandelson waxes his hands, doesn't he? I mean backs of the... No, he does, apparently. He's got such hairy hands at the full moon. Some spin doctor said that was unbecoming and looked a bit scary. You couldn't see where his sweater ended. So he waxes his hands.
Newly released documents say that super spy Kim Philby was told by his Soviet paymasters to murder the Spanish dictator General Franco. He entered Spain masquerading as a respectable journalist on the Times, except for occasions when he was spotted sending cryptic, unintelligible messages overseas, in which case he said he was filing normal copy for The Guardian. 2 points to Francis. Tony, why do far from all roads now lead to Rome?
This is to do with the right to roam. What they're going to do is introduce a new rule that means that every decent citizen of this country will have a right to go to Rome rather than just Florence or Pisa. They can have their holidays in the Italian capital if they want. And on top of that, they can also climb over fences of rich landowners in the south of England and walk on their land saying, ha, 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 look at us. We are roaming on your land and you can't stop us because there's a new map that...
Tony, you're rambling.
And the beauty
and
is you can't
right
stop
footwear.
Me. I'm within my rights to ramble in this area. It's a new map that says where you can roam in south of England.
Yes, the publication of Britain's first Right to Roam map show all areas of the country now open to ramblers. The traditional definition of common land was that on which people could graze their cattle. This is irrelevant now, since 90% of British cattle graze on pulverised sheep brains instead. Linda, your piece of music.
The young ones, darling, we're the young ones. And the young ones shouldn't be afraid to live, love, while the flame is strong. 'Cause we may not be the young ones very long.
That was Sid Vicious with the young ones. Linda, why must the church bring out the old and bring in the new?
Well, I noticed a couple of church stories. One was about the Archbishop of Canterbury putting together a £10 million rescue package for the Church of England.
£10 million? That wouldn't even fit on a big thermometer, would it?
No, wouldn't it? Then there's another one about, they want to get rid of the old, moving out the old vicars in favour of younger, trendier vicars.
13-year-old.
Perhaps
vicars.
Perhaps in the mode of famous pop star Cliff Richard, that sort of thing.
Oh, we don't want young vicars.
Oh, terrible idea.
You just end up with the unedifying spectacle of white people trying to clap in time. Well,
this is a very wrong-headed idea, as Jeremy says. You know, the idea of modernity is to introduce a tambourine into the proceedings. Doesn't really work. And also, I think people who actually go to church, I know it's dwindling numbers of people, they don't want it modern. That's not why they're there, is it?
No.
They want a bit of a draft. They want to sit on a cold pew in a bit of a draft for a couple of hours and then have a warm sherry. Why mess with a system that works?
Is this the right answer, though? Because is it to do with the synod or not, and them also not wanting Blair to have any involvement in picking, or have I got that completely?
No, you're absolutely right.
Ah, nicking a point.
Yes, you have.
Well, I think they just decided they're fed up of having any involvement whatsoever with Downing Street picking bishops and things. They say this goes back to 1534, this law, just after lunch. Henry VIII, I think it was, and the law's still there, and they're saying, look, come on, we're all grown-ups here, we'll pick our own people, you keep out of it, we've got enough cronies kicking around without them having them in the church as well.
And you can see how Blair would feel he should choose them, being God, obviously.
A report to the General Synod warned the Church of England that it must recruit younger worshippers. The survey defined the typical churchgoer as a widowed, conservative voter in the south of England, aged in her 70s. You'd think they might have been a bit more specific. So, a point all round there. Jeremy, why is William Hague back in business?
Oh, he's got a job. Driving bulldozers. He's got a job with JCB, who are the people who make road diggers. Doing something. He's their martial arts coordinator or something. I don't know what he's... He's the mine...
It is JCB,
mining.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, Jeremy, it's a step up from his old job.
That's true.
I think he must have lied about his references.
Are they still going, the Tories?
A bit like status quo. You can't quite believe it, but they are there.
They still got all the original members, or is it like the Temptations, you know?
It's more of a tribute band now.
Yeah.
Former Tory leader William Hague has landed business jobs with JCB and a small engineering firm called AES. He will now have to attend committee meetings where his views will be earnestly listened to, which will be a first for the little chap. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Sits Vac column of the Barnsley Chronicle.
Motorway litter pickers required, £156 for a 39-hour week. Experience of working in high-speed traffic, an advantage.
Thanks to Eric Gibbs of Brampton Beerlow for that. Francis, your last question and your piece of music.
You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
Francis, apart from moss, what else can't Rolling Stones gather?
Well, they can't get knighthoods, according to Mick Jagger. There's some television programme going out shortly on Channel 4 in which Mick Jagger whinges that he hasn't got a knighthood. Well, actually, he's very clever. He doesn't complain. He just quotes a conversation he had with Prince Charles, where Prince Charles expressed surprise, saying, "Haven't you ever had anything? Haven't you ever got anything from us?" That's extraordinary, you know. Sir Elton John, Sir Paul McCartney, Sir Clifford Richard, all these people. And it, it does seem odd. He's done his best to suck up to the new government. I mean, he wrote that song Angie about Angie Hunter, Blair's best friend. And he's done all sorts of things, but they just won't give him any honours. I don't know why not. Perhaps it's because he doesn't really live here all that often. He seems to be off in love nests in America half the time.
It's his girlfriend.
But that didn't stop them giving an earlhood to Earl Hines, and there's Duke Ellington. And
yes, I know.
Why do people want a knighthood? I don't understand it, because if you get a knighthood, it doesn't actually change anything at all. You don't get... if you're in the Lords, you can go to the House of Lords. You know, you've got somewhere to warm to sleep, you know, during debate. You don't get anything if you're a knight. And it's dangerous as well, because let's face it, the Queen isn't getting any younger, and she's hovering over you with a sword.
In the Channel 4 documentary, Mick Jagger reveals that he would like to have been knighted. He was apparently proposed 2 years ago, but it's believed that his philandering got in the way. He was far too busy polishing the one gong he can always rely on. Linda, who's given nature an Alpen and in answer to a question that's been driving people nuts?
This is the Brazil nut effect. Yes, the famous Brazil nut effect. Apparently, scientists have been investigating this phenomena whereby all the big bits in muesli all come to the top of the box. So the first person who has a bowl of muesli from that box gets all the nuts and stuff, and everyone else is left with cold porridge. And scientists have been looking into this. It's something they've known about since the 1930s, apparently, but no one's had the damn guts to investigate. And apparently there is an explanation for this, and it's basically it's science. Mostly science.
These brilliant people, I think it was the University of Chicago or somewhere where they spent 8 years researching Brazil nuts, they do reckon that there is some sort of benefit from it. They reckon that other things containing granules of different sizes will also be helped, like, for instance, concrete. So they'll be able to stop Brazil nuts rising to the top of concrete.
Researchers at the University of Chicago, led by Professor Nagel, say they're very happy to devote their lives to investigating all the mysteries of muesli. It's very, very regular work. Jeremy, why is Linda 15% brainier than you are?
We were discussing this on the train, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Apparently, ladies...
Well, I was trying to explain it to you.
Yeah.
In the end, I just let him have an ice cream.
And we had a huge row. Because men are not as good at women as kind of, you know, what's that word expressing? That word, yeah.
Would you like another ice cream?
Thank you. No, women have densely packed brains. Their brain cells are all packed together to make room for shoes. But yeah, women's brains are better than men's.
Well, better packed, because men can't pack.
We can't pack.
See, if you fold the brain cells properly, you get more in.
I see a spin-off show here called Linda and Jeremy.
We could get it off the ground. Do you think we'd be doing this?
A neuroscience conference in San Diego heard evidence that women's brains are denser than men's. To compensate for the relative smallness of their brains, women have a much tighter concentration of brain cells. Men with smaller brains compensate by invading Poland. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This appears to be from the Salisbury Journal. It's the wrestling report on the sports page. Wilton wrestler Tristan Hayes grappled to one of the biggest victories of his career on Saturday after defeating the fearsome Rampage at a bout in Exeter. Hayes, a hairdresser at Tony and Guy in Silver Street, Salisbury, has performed under the stage name of the Anthrax Kid for the past 4 years, but in light of recent events, is considering changing his name.
Tony.
This is from the Exeter Express and Echo in the services section. It goes, I am a private carer offering support to elderly people living in their own home. Shopping, bathing, meals, etc. I can offer one visit a week to daily visits 7 days a week. Please call Joanne for an informal chat. I also specialise in dementia in the Exeter area.
Linda.
This was sent in by Mrs. H. Fenwick of Northumberland. It's from The Independent. The French government came up with a brilliant idea for improving France's appalling road safety record. Fake gendarmes made of tin would be installed at accident black spots to remind drivers that they should drive A, not too fast, B, not while drunk, or C, both at the same time. To discourage motorists from vandalising or writing rude messages on the tin gendarme, real gendarme will be hiding nearby.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by, they haven't given their first name, T. Green from Wells in Somerset, and it's from the ads, the classified ads of the Wells Journal. And this says, Escort gear, 1600, E-reg, 6 months, MOT, good condition, 350 or near offer. Unfortunately, it's in the escort section, which is below massage and adult interest.
Thank you all. And the final score is Jeremy and Linda have 15 points, but Francis and Tony have edged ahead to be this week's winners with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Tesco Baby Club magazine, sent in by Kate Robinson of Huntingdon.
Leave the nappy-free stage to a weekend or a time when you have two or three clear days based at home. Boys can stand at the loo for a wee, if they're tall enough, or can stand comfortably on a stool.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the newspaper, Jeremy Hardy, Tony Hawkes, Linda Smith and Francis Wheen. The chairman was Simon Hoggard, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Debbie Barham, Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and Paul McKenzie. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.